Welcome to our weekly show produced by the Black Awareness Association of Juneau, also known as Juneau BAA. I'm Christina Michelle Patterson, confidence coach, hypnotherapist, and member of Juneau BAA. I'll be hosting today's show and interviewing our guest, Nakisha Wilson, who's joining us for a second time to discuss the history and importance of African American authors and literature. If you were listening last week, you'll recall Nakisha was with us. There was so much that we didn't get to cover on this vast topic, and she's back by popular demand. Nakisha is a librarian and former educator who has a master's in literature. Nakisha is also the curator for Just Like Me Book Box, a monthly book subscription of books written by Black authors and illustrated by Black artists. Welcome, Nakisha. Thank you for joining us again.
Thank you, Christina, for having me. I'm very happy to be here with you.
So there was a lot that we discussed last week, and we just got so much positive feedback from our listeners. And we wanted to just expound on the conversation that we had. Just picking up from where we left off last week, can you tell us why Black representation in literature is important for Black people and for those that don't identify with the Black experience?
Yeah, you know, when I was in library school, I learned of this phrase that someone had come up with when talking about the importance of just children's literature in general. And it was the phrase that says, books are mirrors and windows. And what that means is that books that have our stories in them, they're a reflection of ourselves, right? They're a reflection of our experiences and who we are. So they're mirrors. We can see ourselves, and we should see ourselves in books. Mm. But then books are also windows. And when there are authentic Black stories that represent Black people in authentic ways, the literature can expand the very narrow view that other people who may not identify with the Black experience may have of Black culture. And a lot of times the idea of Black people in our experiences and our history is something that comes from visual media, you know, TV and the news. And that's unfortunate because that is sort of a controlled media, if you will. But I loved learning that when I was in library school. And I really believe that that is why Black representation in books is really important, because it's a reflection of who we are. We should be seeing ourselves in those books, but it can also help us to help people understand who we really are fully and wholly. And I think we have to keep doing this work for those reasons.
I love that. And I've never heard that before. Books are, you said, mirrors and windows.
Windows,
oh,
yes.
I love that so much and so true.
Yeah, nice. It really is. It really is. And I think if you just keep that in mind, it's a reminder of why promoting books, you know, to children that look like us with, you know, characters and that has stories that represent who they are and where they come from is just really important. But it's also important for other people who don't identify with us. You know, they need to see positive images. And that goes for, you know, vice versa too. We should be reading and seeing people in other cultures through the things that we're reading as well. So, you know, it's a two-way street.
Yeah, I love that. We know that there is sort of a set literary canon that's used in secondary and higher ed institutions. Are there any books that you believe should be added to the traditional American literary canon from Black authors?
How much time do you really have? absolutely. I mean, there are some stories that are already on the list that kind of represent the Black experience. Some of those popular stories that are included in the canon are like The Invisible Man by Ralph Ellison, which has been around for years. The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison, collected works by Langston Hughes, and A Raisin in the Sun by Lorraine Hansberry. So a lot of stories are sort of included. I say sort of because it just depends on where you are. There are some school districts, some higher eds that may be including Toni Morrison and Langston Hughes, and some that are not. But those their works are traditionally classic and are usually included in curriculum, and especially in higher education. But there are a lot of classic Black stories that are missing. And I mean, a canon essentially is something that is a collection of stories that transcend time. Mm-hmm. You know, they are stories that have themes that people, you know, will be able to identify with for generation after generation. The other common thing that usually comes with classical literature are stories that are sometimes coming of age stories. They're about young adults that are kind of coming into their own and figuring out their place in the world. And there are some really good stories that sometimes people talk about them as classics, but they're not always, they're not like set in stone. One of those stories is The Color Purple by Alice Walker. I mean, that's okay. A movie that it was turned into a movie. But of course, before it was a movie, it was a book. Whoopi Goldberg, you know, portrayed Celie, who's the main character, who's this young girl in this story who we see her life from the time she's about, I think, about 11 mm-hmm. until, you know, she becomes an older adult. Interestingly enough, that's a trilogy. There's a part two and a part three to the Color Purple series. So that's one of the books I think should be included. Another one is by James Baldwin, If Beale Street Could Talk, another book that was made into a movie. So you can see, like, there's kind of this trend that happens with classics. They tend to turn into films. But there are some other ones. If you've ever heard of Ntozake Shange, for Colored Girls Who Considered Suicide When the Rainbow Is Enough, is another one that was turned into a play and then a movie. But then there are some other classics, like the autobiography of Malcolm X. I think that should be something that's included in the literary canon. It is a biography, not fiction, but it's the coming of age story about Malcolm X's life, you know, from childhood up until he became minister, you know, mm-hmm. a minister. We should even have some things on the list by, like, Octavia Butler, who wrote science fiction, Their Eyes Are Watching God, Zora Neale Hurston. And there's so many, like, I could really go on and on and on, but I know we don't have the time for that. But those are some of the books that I think really should be included in the American literary canon, because they are a part, I mean, these are American authors. You know, the Black experience here in America is also a part of the American experience, and I think it should certainly be included when we're talking about the American literary canon.
Wow, I'm learning so much here. I didn't even know that for The Color Purple, that there was had three parts to it. Wow.
It does. And I've never actually read part two or part three. That was something that I didn't learn until a few years ago in my work as the librarian. And I used to be a collection development librarian. I was responsible for ordering materials. So I would just see, you know, a plethora of books that were available to purchase. And, you know, me being an avid reader, didn't even know that The Color Purple had a part two and a part three. And Alice Walker's work is amazing, is tremendous, and I really wish that more of her work was well-known, like The Color Purple.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's consider children's books for a moment. Oftentimes, children's books feature Black characters, but are not written by Black authors. Do you think this is in any way that it diminishes the Black experience in stories?
You know, I believe that it does in some ways. You know, the question I ask myself when we see Black children being represented in books that are written by non-Black authors, the question I have is, how can you authentically write from a Black experience when you don't live in that skin? You know, children's books are often easily translated because sometimes they're, you know, they have imaginary figures, right? Monsters and fairies mm-hmm. and, you know, crayons become characters, like, you know, little, you know, inanimate objects are very easily put into a children's book. So when you have books like that, it really can cross genders, it can cross, you know, age, it can cross, you know, cultural backgrounds and so on. But what about those stories that are being written with real people in them? When a book has a Black person in it, it should have an authentic presence. Like, I keep using that word authentic because it really is important that these stories are authentic. And so it's important for the narrative to be authentic and not colored or written in a way that diminishes or even exaggerates the character in the story, right? And exaggerating, I mean, you know, tapping into stereotypes, right? So I'm going to give you an example of a book that had an issue with this very thing. A few years ago, there was a book, and I'm not going to say the name of the book or the author because I don't want anybody to follow me, but there was a book written some years ago about a pie recipe. It was a children's picture book. And the picture book is about the story of this recipe that gets passed down from one generation to the next. And the story starts in England, and there's this, you know, white family, English family that is, and this is prior to the transatlantic slave trade. Okay, so this is somewhere in the 1400s or something. Okay. They're making this pie. Now, the story of the pie is passed down to about four or five generations in the book. And so the second and the third, or the third generation, I can't remember which generation that's represented in the book, is actually an image of an enslaved African woman and her daughter in a kitchen making the same blueberry pie for their slave masters, okay? When you look at the images, interestingly enough, were challenged by a lot of people because you see this mother and her daughter smiling. They are extremely happy. They have this jovial look on their face, like all the other characters in the book, as if they are really happy to serve their masters, right? Not only was that sort of not only was that a poor choice amongst the illustrator, who's also the author of the book, but it's at that point in the book and throughout the entire book, those are the only Black people represented in the book. Every other generation is of a white family. And the one time that this author and illustrator decided to include a Black family in the book is they were enslaved and they were happy slaves. And this is why we need to write our own stories. And if we can't write our own stories, if I'm not saying that people who don't look like us should not include us in stories, but if they're going to do that, we need to be present. We need to be on advisory boards. Black people need to be a part of editing teams. They need to be somewhere within the publishing industry to better inform people who don't look like us, who decide that they do want to include us in their book. So things like the blueberry pie and the happy slaves and the only Black people in the book being slaves doesn't happen. So that's why it's really important that we are writing our stories, and sometimes we can be diminished by other groups, you know, that don't look like us, but want to include us in their story. So we really do need to be at the table and having these discussions with authors and illustrators about the work they're doing.
That's so good. It seems like an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure kind of thing, because to go back and address that or try to fix it takes a lot of work. But if we could have just been involved in the beginning, that's a great example. What genres or topics are still limited or not being written by Black authors for both adults and children?
One of the biggest genres, I think, that's not being written by us, or that we just have a very small group of people writing, is that of fantasy books, even science fiction, fairy tales, things that are kind of like out of this world and where we just use our vast imagination to write these stories. We often see stories by Black authors that speak to our history or our current experiences, and that's great, and we need those stories. But I think, you know, when I think about storytelling in itself, I think about like limitless possibilities and how we can just come up with anything, really, and include ourselves in those stories. We see those types of stories all the time with white characters. We don't see them enough with us in them. Octavia Butler, who I think I mentioned earlier, she was one of the first Black women to write science fiction stories. She has quite a few of them where she puts Black people in futuristic settings, you know, and I just think it's wonderful that she did that. There's a contemporary writer who writes science fiction as well. Her name is N.K. Jemisin, And she has won a couple of awards for her science fiction writing. She has her most recent book that I can recall is called Till, like T-I-L, Black Future Past. And it's, when you look at the cover of this book, it's this beautiful young Black girl with this real like Afrocentric hairstyle. And the background is this very, it's a dark background. So she stands out on the cover. And it's a collection of short stories that are just set in these imaginary futuristic like places. You know, they're very dystopia like. And yeah, so she's another writer who writes science fiction and fantasy. And now for young people, there's actually a new writer that has come along. Her name is Tomi Adeyemi. Tomi Adeyemi. T-O-M-I-A-D-E-Y-E-M-I. She's Nigerian.
Okay.
And she wrote a book called Children of Blood and Bone. It came out almost 2 years ago. It was an instant hit. It's a story about this young girl. It's set in a fantasy world, but it has a lot of Nigerian culture that's tied into it. And it's about this girl who is just trying to bring magic back to her people. Like they used to dibble and dabble in magic and they've lost it. And she's just trying to bring it back. Nice. And there was a sequel to it. And apparently this was making a movie about this. So those are just a few authors who are writing books that feature young people in them, like Tomi, and that are set in, you know, fantasy settings. One of the things that I talk about often with the founder of the Just Like Me box is, like, we talk to each other because we collaborate when we are getting authors who are submitting their work to us. They want us to feature them in our box. And a lot of times we see the same stories. You know, we see a lot of affirmation books. We see a ton of books about hair. And that's like the most popular thing. And that's great. We need those books. But sometimes we'll say to each other, we just want to see a regular kid that happens to be a Black child just in their everyday life. And
yes,
we don't really see that enough. And I wish that we did, because kids are kids. Like, kids have imaginations. They, you know, I want to read a book about a little Black boy with an imaginary friend. You know, I don't see those books.
Yeah.
But these are things that we don't write enough about them. So I know I said a lot, but I would definitely say that fantasy, science fiction, and fairy tales are something that we don't really write a lot of. I wish we did.
I have something to say about that, and I actually have a little confession to make, but I will share that in a minute. We'll just take a quick break to go to commercial, and then we'll be right back and continue this conversation.